Question number one, Mr. Jakes Arnold.
Number one, sir.
Mr. Speaker, sir, this morning I had meetings with ministerial colleagues and others. In addition to my duties in this House, I shall be having further meetings later today. This evening I hope to have an audience of Her Majesty the Queen.
Mr. Arnold.
As my right honourable friend noted, the widespread public support for our education reforms, has she further, noted the Gallup poll in yesterday's Daily Telegraph that noted that two out of three Londoners would not be worried by the loss of ILEA, and that three out of four of them support the national curriculum, support testing and the parent power to opt out of local education.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, my honourable friend makes his point very effectively. I believe that most parents want the chance to opt out. I think they want the chance to get their children out of the grip of some of the fanatical left-wing authorities. I think the reforms to which my honourable friend refers will lead to much better education. That is why the Labour Party are fighting them, and the parents will be very pleased with them.
Mr. Kinnock.
Mr. Speaker, can I warmly welcome today's cut in interest rates and also welcome the Chancellor's victory over the Prime Minister.
Order.
Can the Prime Minister tell us, does this cut mean that she's changed her position and now wholeheartedly agrees with the Chancellor that further rises in the pound would be unsustainable and damage British business and industry?
Mr. Speaker, I'm glad the Right Honourable Gentleman welcomes the cut in interest rates. He'll note that we've taken interest rates down three times in the last 2 months. I'm sure he would like a detailed reply. My Right Honourable friend and I entirely agree. Of course. I'm sure he would like a detailed reply. My Right Honourable... Thank you very much. My Right Honourable... I hope they'll listen to the next reply too. My Right Honourable friend and I entirely agree that we must maintain a firm monetary policy and a downward pull on inflation. I totally agree with all my Right Honourable friend's budget speech, every bit of it, and that is more than the Right Honourable Gentleman, the Leader of the Opposition, does. The Right Honourable Gentleman asks about exchange rate policy. It is a part of total economic policy. As I indicated a moment ago, he will note that we've taken interest rates down three times in the last 2 months. That was clearly intended to affect the exchange rate. We use the available levers, both interest rates and intervention, as seems right in the circumstances.
Order.
And I hope honourable gentlemen will listen very carefully to the last sentence. It would be a great mistake for any speculator to think at any time that sterling was a one-way bet.
Mr. Speaker.
Order.
Mr. Speaker, I and I'm sure everybody else are very interested to hear the Prime Minister draw attention to the three times cuts in interest rates in the last 2 months. Because it was 2 months ago when I asked her whether she'd intervene or use interest rates to bring down the pound, she said intervention would lead to inflation and interest rates couldn't deal with the matter because it wouldn't be in the interests of inflation to do so. Can I ask her, therefore, is she now saying that she's been...
Order! These are order! These are very important matters. Order! 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 Is the order... The whole House wants to hear the answer to this question.
Is the Is the Prime Minister now saying, Mr. Speaker, because this is of general interest, that she's been wrong in the past about the inflationary implications of interest rates reductions?
I don't think the Right Honourable Gentleman is entirely the master of his subject.
Order.
Honourable gentlemen, the same reply when I was asked the same question on either the last or previous occasion when the interest rate was taken down 0.5%. The reply was this: as the value of sterling has risen, that is, the exchange rate has risen, that has tightened money supply, that in fact enables us to reduce the interest rate without having any adverse effect on inflation.
Between the Prime Minister and the Chancellor, Mr. Speaker, we at least know who the master is at this present moment. Mr. Speaker, did the Prime Minister's last answer imply that if the pound goes above 3 Deutschmarks 18, which is where it is at the moment, they'll use interest rates again?
Speaker, anyone who is asking to know precisely what will happen is the friend of the speculator and aiding and abetting.
Sir William Clark! Sir William Clark!
Would my right honourable friend not agree that today's reduction in the base rate and the two previous ones give the lie to the media and opposition members' accusations and hysteria that there's a rift between herself and the Chancellor of Exchequer in the management of the economy? Would she not agree that managing a successful economy, which is the envy of the whole world, means not only the control of inflation, not only the control of public expenditure and a sound fiscal policy, but must also include the exchange rate? And does not today's reduction prove beyond peradventure that there is complete and utter unanimity in the management of our economy under the capable management of the Chancellor?
Give him a job.
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. David Steele.
Mr. Speaker, can the Prime Minister... Will the Prime Minister clarify what is the government's policy towards the exchange rate mechanism of the European monetary system? Is it still that we will join when the conditions are right? And since that's been the position for the last 8 years and the pound has varied against the Deutschmark from 4.79 to 2.86, how have the conditions never been right?
Mr. Speaker, it has been a very consistent position. We will join when the conditions are right. It remains a consistent position.
Yes. Sir Hugh Russell!
Number two, sir.
I refer my honourable friend to the reply which I gave some moments ago.
Sir Hugh Russell!
Would my right honourable friend not agree that the decision to withdraw from Afghanistan could well represent the high tide mark in Russian expansionism and augurs well for glasnost and the future peace between East and West? And will she also agree that the world is indebted to the Afghan people for their courage, tenacity and suffering that has brought this about?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I agree with my honourable friend. We welcome the Russian withdrawal from Afghanistan, which has now begun to take place. We also believe that it was due to the tenacious fighting by the Afghan people against the occupation with the support of many people throughout the world. We believe that it will improve East-West relations. We hope that it will be followed by other withdrawals, for example, of the Cuban troops from Angola and also from Vietnam troops from Cambodia.
Mr. Sheldon!
Yes. But is it not clear that the difference between the Prime Minister and the Chancellor of the Exchequer is simply this, that the Chancellor of the Exchequer learnt about the problems of the 240 pound and the way in which it damaged so much of our manufacturing and other industries, and the Prime Minister did not?
He's not.
And will she learn that it is unwise to quarrel with the Chancellor of the Exchequer but it's extremely foolish to do so in public.
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, I wish Right Honourable and Honourable Members opposite could go further and say they totally endorse the Chancellor's policy, they totally endorse his budget, and they actually would agree with the reductions in tax instead of trying to take away from the nurses and the doctors some of the increases they've had on their wages by taking it away in increased taxation. That's what the party opposite wants to do.
Patrick McNair-Wilson.
But does my right honourable friend not recall that 10 years ago, in the last year of the Labour government, we had a combination of a weak pound, rampant inflation, and goods pouring in from countries which had strong currencies like Germany and Japan? And would she not agree with me that in industry's interests, since one of the component factors they have to take into account is raw material prices, a buoyant currency is an essential concomitant of a successful economy?
Mr. Speaker, I hear what my friend says, but I well remember the way in which the economy was handled by Right Honourable Honourable Gentleman opposite. The reserves of this country dropped to $4 billion only, and no one in the world would lend us a dollar or a penny piece. The reserves now are $48 billion under the way the economy is run by the Chancellor.
Sydney Bidwell.
Number three, sir.
I defer the Honourable Gentleman's reply, which I gave some moments ago.
Bidwell.
In view of the Right Honourable Lady's recently published list of achievements, will it be her intention to add the widening gap between the rich and the poor, which is occurring throughout the nation?
Mr. Speaker, everyone in the nation has benefited from the increased prosperity. Everyone. Everyone. The amount spent on Social Security is well up. The fact is that honourable gentlemen opposite were rather the poor were worse off, provided that those who create the wealth did not earn so much. It's because we've encouraged these people, the people who are able to be enterprising, that we've got the increased wealth to give in increased amounts to the health service and Social Security.
Mr. Beaumont Dark.
Would my right honourable friend accept that her total endorsement of the Chancellor of the Exchequer's policy is a great comfort to her friends, same as it is an annoyance to her enemies?
Well done, Bob. Which category are you?
Mr. Speaker, I once again endorse my right honourable friend's most excellent policy and hope my right honourable friend who's asked the question will never cease to extol the virtues of a successful economy which has been built up over the last 9 years.
Mr. Dennis Healy! Order. The Right Honourable Gentleman hasn't answered the question.
There's a certain contradiction in the remark she made earlier in question time. As I understood it, she said she'd agreed that the Chancellor should cut interest rates in order to bring down the value of the pound, and that that was the appropriate lever for bucking the market at this time. But a moment later, she said she'd agreed earlier to cut interest rates because the high pound made it safe to do so without damaging the control of the money supply. Now, the cut in interest rates this morning has already led to a big fall in the pound. Does that mean that she will now insist on an increase in interest rates in order to tighten the money supply, or is it the fact that she is not entirely the mistress of her subject or of the Chancellor?
If we were going to take lessons, we'd take lessons from someone who was the master of his subject and not from the Right Honourable Gentleman who reduced this country's reserves to the lowest level ever. And no one would lend him a penny piece, and I don't wonder why.
And Cartwright!
Number four, sir.
I refer the Honourable Gentleman to the reply which I gave some moments ago.
Strike! Since the Right Honourable Lady was reminding her supporters yesterday of her manifesto commitments, can she assure the House that she will honour the manifesto commitment that child benefit will continue to be paid as now, and that there is no truth in the press suggestions that child benefit is to be cut, taxed, frozen or abolished?
Mr. Speaker, I agree with the Honourable Member that the manifesto quite clearly stated child benefit will continue to be paid as now and direct to the mother. That commitment will be honoured. Yeah.